I'm Chris Savino with American Outdoor News, and today I'm here with my friend Dirk Stark from Stark Growth. Dirk, thanks for coming on.
Yeah, excited to be here. It's kind of fun to get connected. You know, we visited at SHOT Show a while, and we've been running kind of parallel in the industry for a long time, and
Yeah.
so it's nice to always visit.
Yeah, it's funny because, you know, we've known about each other for a long time, but I think this is actually the first year we actually got to sit down and talk and have a drink.
Right. Exactly. Well, just one, right? Right. But yeah, it's kind of fun. Especially, you know, I've been doing this since my 33rd year in the industry. And so,
Wow.
So it's kind of crazy to start out, you know, years ago, we were just talking about turkey calls and doing seminars before there was actually internet and getting involved in doing marketing and product development and stuff and meeting different people like yourself. You know, people will hear that my Minnesota accent, and it's always fun to get connected with people from different country, different parts of the United States and Jersey and New York.
Yep.
Yep. So it's all good stuff. So yeah,
Now
great stuff. But
so you started out making turkey calls and getting around the business in that way. That was your introduction.
Yeah. So I had a company called Custom Wing Bones by Dirk, and I did wing bone calls kind of with decorative artwork on. In fact, well, here's some of the later ones here. You can see made with deer antler and wing bones, and I did, you know, scrimshaw artwork on them and stuff like that. And so we did those for like safari club banquets, or I sold them all over the place and did won some awards and at nationals and different state calling contests. But I was doing seminars for Haydel game calls and buckwing decoys and Thermacell, Bass Pro and Cabela's and Shields and places before there was internet. So that was that was a while ago.
You're dating yourself before there
Yeah.
was internet.
Well, you know, the speed of sound goes really fast, but yeah, it is really strange that it went that fast.
Blink
As
of
well.
an eye.
I mean, well, think about you with American Outdoor News, how that's changed and grown so fast.
Yeah, really quick. Really quick.
Yeah.
The technology, the software, everything is always constantly changing, new updates, new
Right.
features, just something new to sell.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Well, I really love turkey season. It's just there's something about it, calling turkeys back and forth and doing stuff. But I've been fortunate now. I also have a hunting ranch at Hell's Canyon out north of the Black Hills that I'll be out guiding hunters for Merriam's north of the Black Hills. So that's coming up April 8th, 9th, 10th, 11th, 12th, sometime in that frame I'll be out there. And it'll be nice to get rid of the cell phone, get rid of the computer for a while and restore myself a little bit out there. So,
Now,
yeah.
it seems like a lot of people in the industry really got their foot in the door with turkey calling and turkey hunting. It's a lifestyle. Subset of our outdoor lifestyle.
Right. And I think also that, you know, for the average Joe, like myself or anyone else, it's very affordable to get in. You know, most people have a shotgun already and they get in, or they get a bow and, you know, you buy a $30, $40 call and you're off and running it. And there's so much ground that have turkeys on it and stuff like that, that I think for me, that was the easiest thing. Cause I didn't see myself 30 years ago going on elk hunts or going to Africa or things like that. I just, you know, couldn't afford that. And so turkey hunting really makes hunting really accessible for so many people, kids and women and, you know, just the working person. So it's a really cool thing. And I've been happy to help support the NWTF for years, you know, for that and stuff like that. So yeah, good stuff.
So
but,
people come to your ranch. What is it, a 3-day hunt, or how long are they there?
Yeah, it's a 4-day hunt out there because it's kind of a haul. It's 8 hours for me from Minnesota. The closest airport to fly in is 2 hours away in Rapid City. So if people are going to make a journey, it is quite the experience out there. So I'm like, let's make it a 4-day. And we do it kind of a shed hunting, sheds and spurs. you know, okay. So you can come out there and you can look for, you know, whitetail, mule deer, elk sheds. We can do a little prairie dog shooting, all sorts of, you know, we're out west.
There's always something to shoot.
Right. Exactly. So that's what I really try to make it an adventure. Even if people come for mule deer or whitetail or antelope, that it's a whole different lifestyle out there than just, you know, going to a 40-acre deer camp and hunting, you know?
Yeah.
And so why not live that lifestyle and give everyone that experience? So that's kind of what we do.
So your turkey calls have changed over the years, and your product line has changed over the years. I can't keep up with you.
Well, right. So I started with my own company, and then I got involved doing seminars and marketing for Scentlock and Buckwing decoys that had the bobblehead decoys, if you remember those, right,
sure.
And stuff. And then I started my own company called Start Growth, doing marketing for brands. And one of the first ones we did was we launched Flying Arrow Archery, the toxic broadhead, and worked on Element arrows. I worked with our buddy Nick over at Steady Form, you know, different companies. Who else? I think, back in the day, Ben Stern and Tacticam. You know, it was way back, it was just Ben and I. And so getting things rolling. So that was pretty exciting, privilege to be a part of that. Strut and Rut Energy Shots as well. Had the big Strut and Rut truck we drove around the country with and different
that.
Brands. Yeah, so that was a lot of fun, but I'm too old for that. But
you're as old as you think you are.
Yeah, no, I still have a lot of fun. But now, you know, I manage about eight different brands. I work on product development, design, marketing, and then sales for a lot of the box stores and help them with sales and strategies for online stuff as well as to retailers. So lots of different things to do. And, you know, talking about spring turkey season, I'm just going to, you know, be the product person I am. If you haven't seen this, I think I have some coming toward you, Chris, mm-hmm. Right now. It's called Fanlock from Velvet Antler Technologies. And that whole product line is a really cool, different things of that people, there's nothing like that in any category. So this is actually for preserving turkey fans, like this one you see on the wall there. Literally, we cut it off, sprayed this on it, and within 24 hours, it was already firming up, killed all the bugs in it, stops the bugs, and you spray it another 4 days after that just on the meat part,
uh-huh.
And it's perfectly preserved. No borax, no stuff like that. You don't have to worry about bugs, no smell. It really works good for people that are using decoys or reapers because, you know, within, you could do it 2 days and you're good to go for the season. You don't have to have that rotting smell or bugs or stuff like that with your decoys or your reapers. So it's been a neat thing for the turkey hunters, and also works on spurs too. So you can preserve your feet or spurs by just hosing it down or injecting it in it. And then you can mold your feet however you want them to be, and you don't have to freeze drying or sitting. I don't know how many have you had in your garage sitting there, and you realize about July or August, you're like, oh, man.
What's that smell?
Right. It's time to get rid of that, right? Right. So that's kind of a new product line that we've been doing and working with during spring turkey season. So, yeah, that's kind of fun. Or ballistic crossbows or stuff like that. So lots of different things, for sure.
Now, do you prefer to hunt turkey with a bow or a shotgun?
Yeah, I mean, a lot of people just want to shoot them in the face. And by about the end of May, I want to put a hand grenade on every turkey, right? But I really like bow hunting them or using a crossbow. And like out at the ranch, the ranch was originally leased by Keith Beam and Brooks Johnson from the start of Double Bull. And I learned from them that, you know, you put your decoys at like 3 feet from the blind. That so many turkey hunters put them out there 20, 30 yards. Well, then the birds hang up at 40 or 50. And for a bow, it's just ridiculous. So they said, put them at 3 feet. And I love having them come in, or they come right around and they're right. And they're, and
yep.
You can feel them vibrating your blind, right? That close. And, you know, anytime you can just stick them in the ground right outside, they don't run anywhere that way. Right?
Well, you can't shoot them at 3 feet. You shouldn't even be in the woods.
Right. Yeah. But it makes it tricky because some people aren't used to shooting that close. You know, it's a lot of times you have to check and use your 40-yard pin even to when you're shooting that close. The other challenge is of obviously close range birds like that. There are many ground blinds. The windows are at the hub level. They're not cut lower. So when I designed ground blinds, I designed them so the windows were cut down below the hub. And literally, if they're right outside, you don't have to,
You don't have to
you're
worry
shooting
about
right
shooting
down.
down.
You don't have to worry about shooting the blind or hitting a rod or stuff like that, because that's may have happened a couple times or two, right?
Yeah, it has. Now, if you don't turkey hunt, which I don't do a lot of, by the way, I do, but not as much as I should. It's more of a offensive hunt because
It is.
you're calling them in, you're more interactive with them as opposed to sitting in a deer stand and waiting for a deer to walk by.
Right. It's for a person who's a little ADHD like me, as
Not you.
I have a hard time sitting, so I really like the calling aspect because you could hear them and go after them, you know. And that's what I really liked. And the back and forth too, for sure, is definitely nice, because sitting in a deer stand is like ice fishing, you know. You have to just sit and patience. And you know, like out at the ranch, deer hunting is a whole ball different ball of wax. We're glassing them from 3 to 5 miles away and then going after them. So that's my kind of hunting. I don't want to just sit and wait for a pass shoot or wait for something to come walking by. Maybe I want to hunt it and go after it. So
Now, I know you
yeah.
had mentioned you like hunting them with a bow or a crossbow. Funny coincidence, you happen to have a new crossbow.
A couple of them, right. Well, and here's the deal, is that so if you look around my office, so you see above me, there's a recurve there. I've got a couple of recurves on the wall over there. I love to bow hunt, but I'm not exclusive that I oh well crossbows end of archery. I realize that crossbows have different different applications. And sometimes when I'm in the woods, one day I might grab a recurve. One day I may grab my gear head. One day I may grab my crossbow, and I don't feel like I'm cheating anyone. It's still about the hunt.
Use a slingshot if you could. Don't matter.
Oh, I have a wrist rocker from Saunders. Yeah. But this is that little ballista crossbow. So it's, you can get it without the stock on it, but it's a little tiny crossbow that it has some great power. I mean, this will shoot about 280 feet per second.
Nice.
And, we've taken, Daryl from Velvet Antlers has shot about 170 inch whitetail out in Maryland with it. We've had people shooting hogs with it, turkeys with it, mountain lions or bobcats in trees. Without the stock on it, you can put it in your backpack. So like guides and outfitters that are running cats, they just take it out of their backpack and they're ready to rock and roll with it. But it's not a 50 or 100-yard crossbow, but it sells for less than $500. And then you can also put a bow fishing reel on it too. So this crossbow, and there's this one, there's this is the reverse bat, there's the bat, and then now there's a full-size mega bat that's shooting 407 feet per second. That's a 100-yard crossbow. In fact, I got to shoot some video here shooting that at 100 yards. But it is a much bigger full-size crossbow.
Do they all have the reverse limb technology?
Some of them, the mega bat does not. But it's still shooting that. It when you cock it, it's pretty tight. Pretty compact on it. So it's a lot of fun. Bow fishing with it obviously is fun. And it's just so this one is kind of cool. It's different than other crossbows because I don't know. Have you seen the videos on this at all, where it has this like it's got like a pull chain on it here, so you just cock it by pulling it back like this, right? It's that easy to do smaller ones, right? And you hit the safety off, you pull it back, click it, and now you decocked it. And actually the mega bat is that way too, but you actually need two hands to do that because it's You know, that has 320-pound looms to it. So, but you can cock it and decock it, and you don't need a special stringer. You just, it's like you're pulling a lawnmower, you know. So
it makes it convenient, too.
Yeah, very convenient. And for this one, it's like pulling about a 45-pound bow back. So people with shoulder things can do that without a problem. You can put your foot on the ground, too, and pull it, too. So, but it's just a compact, portable unit that and accurate. I mean, we were shooting prairie dogs at 35 yards at the ranch with it and just sitting. I mean, most people shoot prairie dogs from, you know, 500-700 yards, right? We just took folding chairs and sat right in the dog cone, and it's so quiet that they just had no idea.
Love a crossbow. You know, I like my compound, but hunting with a crossbow is a completely different animal. You know, the speed and the knockdown power. You know, I shot a deer with my Excalibur. That thing didn't even realize it was hit. Walked like 3 feet and fell over.
Right, right. Well, that was, you know, it was just intimidated by you, Chris. That was it. So what's the rules? You know, because different states are opening that up. Like Minnesota just said, you can use a crossbow any season, any age.
Yeah.
There's no issues. South Dakota, you have to have a doctor's permit to use a crossbow in it. What's like in New York where you're at?
New York, you can use your crossbow the last 2 weeks of bow season.
Okay.
You can use it through gun season.
Right.
Last I checked, there was a 200-pound limit to your bow, which I don't know what the point of that is.
Right.
You know, it doesn't matter if it's 220-pound or 200-pound. It don't matter. It's going to shoot the same.
Right.
But, you know, New York, they have to add some kind of restriction in because it's the land of no.
Right. Oh,
can I use this? No.
Yeah, right. Yeah, I think that slingshots are illegal in like a wrist rocket is illegal in New York.
Yeah, that wouldn't surprise me.
I
never thought about it, but it really wouldn't surprise me.
Yeah, yeah, it's nuts. But, so that's really a challenge, you know, today in marketing is that so many states have different rules and regulations, and we know that Colorado, obviously, and Wyoming are the nutso states that, you know, you can't use it. You know, for years you couldn't use a lighted knock in it, or now even some of states like Kansas, you're not supposed to use trail cameras. You know, I mean, it's just crazy, right?
Yeah, and you know, some states you can bait, some states you can't.
Right.
I don't see what the difference is. You know?
Yeah.
If you have a nice pile of corn, you're just feeding the squirrels.
Right.
But deer happens by, that's on them.
Right. You know, and it's different too. I didn't used to think that baiting was I went through different phases. Obviously, you learn more the longer in the industry. So we baited Barrett in Canada, and I thought, and I tried calling him when I was up there, and we called Timberwolves in, but we couldn't get the bear to come into the calls because the Timberwolves were there. Baiting in Canada, you need to because it's so mass.
Vast land.
It's nuts. We were hunting 4 hours north of Thunder Bay, so it was crazy. But then there's like states like Texas where, you know, everyone baits all the time. And I had hunters come up to the ranch and they said, well, where's the feeders? And I, you know, we've got 20,000 acres. I'm like, how many feeders would I need on 20,000 acres? But what I learned out there is that you just have to get on the glass more. And there are so many draws, and it's about technique out there, right? It's not, you can't just bait because it still wouldn't, they need the cover to come into them. And when you're out in the middle of nowhere, there's really no cover. So you have to use things. So I think it's me personally, I think it really depends on the situation, you know, like hunting whitetails up in Alberta or Saskatchewan. Again, that's so vast of territory. If you don't bait, you can't bring them in. It's just impossible. So I don't know. I don't really have a personal issue with it. You know, I remember in Wisconsin, people would drive out with a pickup truck full of load of corn the night before gun season. And you're like, really, how is that going to change their habit? You know, there's just, they weren't being strategic about it. It was just like, okay, let's drive out in the woods. Even though they're not supposed to, they would do that. And you'd see them glassing, here because this pickup going through the trail and dropping corn. And like, okay, how is that going to really affect it? It wasn't really being strategic. So I don't know. I think every state is different, and I hope your listeners and stuff like that can see that or understand that. I don't know.
Well, you know, like the way you hunt deer in New York, you're not going to hunt them the same way in Texas or
right.
Nebraska, or, you know, it's different terrain, different techniques. The deer have different habits, and it's mm-hmm. about sitting and observing and adjusting to the way you need to hunt the game.
Right. Yeah, it's interesting. Like food plots, I used to live in Wisconsin, and food plots were gold there. You know, you had to, food plots drew critters in, and they were right there, and you could have a 2-acre food plot and it would be magnets. Well, on 20,000 acres, we have 400 acres of food plots, and it still isn't probably enough, but it does, but it's out in the middle of nowhere, and how you use those are different. And that's taking the time to learn more about that, how each state is different. Everything is, it makes hunting more enjoyable for me than just, well, that's not the way I do it, you know?
It's a whole new learning experience. You go to a new space, and that's why you rely on a guide.
Yeah.
You
know, yeah.
You can't guide the guide. They know the territory. They know where. I don't care how many deer you shot. You go into a different area. Pay attention to how he hunts his own backyard.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. It's that's definitely a different thing. So, well, interesting. But I don't know what else we want to talk about. You know, are you a big shotgunner?
Not a lot.
Yeah.
I enjoy you know, some skeet and trap and whatnot when the opportunity arises, but I don't, you know, readily go out and say, hey, I feel like shooting trap today.
Yeah, right. Yeah, I'd rather go out and shoot my bow, but I have, I don't know, I think I gave you some of this at SHOT, didn't I? This Modern Spartan stuff.
You did. Yeah. I got to check it out.
Yeah, so I looked at it for turkey season. You know, I'm doing some posts about it right now. This Accuracy Oil is a different, it's not a petroleum-based product. It's more of a barrel treatment program for your firearms, but it makes it the barrel harder, makes it easier to clean, tightens groups, and increases velocity. But for shotguns, it's kind of an interesting thing because if you're shooting a lot of wads, trap shooting, or stuff like that, this stuff will melt that plastic buildup in shotguns. So it really, you know, we've got the carbon destroyer that takes the carbon out, but that plastic stuff, you can lubricate your shotgun barrel and actually take out the plastic wadding with that. So that's kind of a neat product line. The optics cleaner and stuff like that. I use on my phone glass. Well, I should use on my glasses, but stuff like that. So, but it's a interesting line of technology. Most of the brands, actually all of them that I work with, I really, after doing this so long, I really try to look at brands and go, okay, what's unique about that product? Is there something that differentiates itself from everything else out there? It's not just a one-off, a different color. It's, you know, like Velvet Antlers. There's nothing else on the market. Modern Spartan. It uses gun cleaning and maintenance as a different way that normally people do it. And actually, that product line, that Modern Spartan, is the official gun cleaner and maintenance kit for the Sonoran Desert Institute, SDI. That's that online gun cleaning school. They give it to every one of their students and say, hey, this is the new technology. Get used to it, you know?
Yeah, so, train them the right way.
Right. So interesting stuff, like in Flex Fletch Fanes that I work with too, that's a, you know, different material, different technologies as well. So lots of things. And I mean, I'm just blessed to be able to be in industry where I can do that and work with folks and talk with folks like you and meet with them and, you know, take them out on hunts or whatever and make a living doing it, I guess.
Yeah, it's, you know, it is a blessing to make a living doing what we love to do. So, yeah.
Right. So how about you? Where's your first turkey hunt at?
For this year or ever?
Yeah, for this year.
I don't have any plans.
Oh my gosh!
I am.
You don't know anyone in South Dakota or anything like that?
No, you know, I could take a 2-hour ride upstate and do some turkey hunting.
Yeah.
We had a club. We actually just lost the lease on it, but sure enough, these things would show up before the season. They disappear, and then they show up again after the season.
Right.
Yeah, but, you know, I would be sitting in my deer stand, and I'd have 20, 30 turkey right in front of me.
Right. In that fall, when they come together in the fall, that's like at the ranch in the fall when we're out there in October, November, there'll be 400 or 500 birds roosting in the tree right outside the cabin. And you're making supper on the grill, and they come walking right up. You're like, where are you in the spring?
It's funny. I'm sitting in my deer stand, and there's about 30 turkey in front of me, and I'm sitting, I'm watching, taking some pictures, whatever. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden, they start flying and squawking and running. Coyote came in, tried to grab one, missed them all. So
right.
I had the coyote in my sight.
Right.
I clicked off the safety. This SOB looked right at me. I'm like, I can't believe he heard.
Right. Yeah.
And off he ran.
Oh,
didn't even
man.
Get the shot.
Yeah. They are, they always seem to be right over your shoulder when you least expect them. I remember I took the keepers from Dropped out on an antelope hunt in South Dakota, and we were sitting on top of this. You know, like a mesa or just a hill out in the middle of the prairie, and we're sitting up there having lunch, and we heard the cattle all around. We said, man, we should start calling some coyotes. So we had a little wager that I couldn't call in some coyotes. And so we're up there, and I'm wah, 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 and there's six of us up on top of this thing, all within about 30, 40 yards of us. And all of a sudden we have one coyote that came right in the middle of us that came, we just didn't see him, you know? And then we had two others come up. And we're like, we're all with bows and just going, what, where did these coyotes come from? They were so sneaky. I mean, we saw them because the cattle were out there with calves. So they were just waiting on those calves to get there. But these came out of nowhere up on top and got within us. And none of us were ready. I mean, it was crazy that they got within 30 to 40 yards of us, right in the middle of us. And they penetrated and we just didn't have a clue. They're so sneaky.
Yeah, they're quiet and they're stealthy. It's like hunting bear. You don't hear them come in. They just appear.
Yeah. Yeah. Have you ever shot a bobcat?
Funny story about that. I haven't. But I'm sitting in my stand and I see this bobcat crest the ridge. And he's walking away from me. And I didn't have a shot. It was bow season.
Yeah.
So a squirrel caught his eye, and he did a 180, started walking right back to me, and squirrel runs up the tree. Then I'm at full draw. This thing claws the tree like he's about to, climb up the tree. And I'm like, oh, I'm going to attack this bastard right to the tree.
Right.
I let the arrow fly. As soon as I let it go, it hit a twig right in front of me.
Oh.
I missed it by half a foot. And the thing just kind of looked around and just casually walked away.
Yeah.
But I had a picture in my head of this thing just stuck to the tree.
Right, right. Yeah, that is on my bucket list. You know, we get some pretty big bobcats in that 40, 45 pounder up here in northern Minnesota. And I really would like to get a bobcat. We have smaller ones out at the ranch, but they're just them and mountain lions. You know, I've called mountain turkeys, and all of a sudden you turn around and 20 yards away you see this 6 foot long tail coming in with a mountain lion. Your hairs just on your arms are just crazy. I mean, those two animals are just, mountain lion is spooky, but the bobcat is just so stealthy that they'll come in and stuff, and they're so beautiful that I need one on the wall back here.
Let's go shopping.
Yeah, right, exactly. So anyway, well, any other, what's been going on with American Outdoor News? Because I haven't, it seems like it's been blowing up quite a bit from when you first started it. I remember we found an old email that said, "See me hunt." And I was that's been a long time ago.
You know, right? That was kind of a hobby that introduced me into the industry. And I got to meet a lot of people. When I started American Outdoor News, I really was able to hit the ground running with it because I knew so many people in the industry. And, we're rolling into our fifth year, just having a good time. And the subscribers are growing, our distribution's growing. We're partnered with Dallas Safari Club, Outdoor Tomorrow Foundation, a few other non-for-profits that offer it to their members as a free member benefit. And the podcast, I started this to cross-market the magazine, and that just opened up a whole other can of worms for me because now I have another hat to wear. And I get to speak to people like you, and it did open up my talking points. You know, we've had congressmen on, we've had senators on, law enforcement, war heroes.
Gunfather.
The Gunfather, he was on the cover of my February issue of the magazine. He'll eventually be on the podcast as well. But we got Tim Wells coming up for our April issue.
There you go.
Yeah, I think we're going to have Pat and Nicole this year as well. So we got things happening. We're excited. And we've had some pretty notable people. I mean, Bo Jackson has been on my cover.
Adam Vinatieri. You got to get the governor from South Dakota on there.
I'm trying.
Yeah.
I've been trying. I speak to a press agent a few times, and he's not opening up that gate for me.
Well, I'll see what I can do because I ran into her at SHOT Show a couple of years ago, and she's wanted to bring some folks out for turkey hunts and or antelope hunts at the ranch. So, you know, she's an amazing woman that she's really kind of shaking things up and doing some great things without being too hyper political. Like we've had I come from Minnesota, but don't hold that against me. right. But I think that, you know, in today's world, we've created these huge, big extremes and that we got to find some common ground in it. And also the education portion. Are you working with DSC or Safari Club International?
I am working with DSC. I'm actually on the board of the Northeast chapter.
Okay.
We have our fundraising banquet Saturday night. So if you haven't bought tickets yet.
All right. Plug, right? Right.
Yeah, and it's good. We've got a lot of hunts to auction off. We got some guns to auction off, a lot of gear.
Right.
Open bar.
Yeah, so, there you go.
So, well, yeah, it's going to be a fun night.
The reason I bring that up is that used to do stuff with SEI, and they have a thing called the American Wilderness Leadership Schools. And it's interesting when you start talking about politics and education and economics. I have these schools. There's one in Jackson Hole, and there's another one in Iowa. Where they bring in politicians, superintendents, principals, teachers, and their idea is to get people from places like New York or Chicago or Minneapolis or really left wing kind of or places like that and educate them about the economics of hunting, the politics of hunting, food. And they in that week that people are in camp, together, they teach them to shoot shotguns, bows. They get them certified for NASP as an instructor as well. And, it's a really interesting thing. I learned so much attending that. I've been there a couple times now. But just the economics of hunting, as well as the politics and what the conservation groups do to help things, just a lot of information. And I think oftentimes we don't, as hunters, we don't take that part of it. It's, hey, I do this because I've about meat, and it's, they don't look at what's the bigger picture for the lifestyle of what we want to enjoy and do and what we need to do to be responsible for that part of it.
Well, our chapter is heavily involved in youth outdoor education.
Yeah.
We sponsor some high school shooting teams, both archery and rifle shooting teams. We've donated to Outdoor Tomorrow Foundation and some other youth education groups. That's our heavy focus because, I mean, let's face it, we don't get kids involved in the outdoors and shooting and hunting. Our numbers are going to dwindle real quick.
Yeah, it's interesting. I live in a town that's probably, I don't know, it's close to about 20,000 here in Minnesota. In the summertime, it gets to about 40. But back when I was in high school, there was like 150 kids going out for the football team, and they had to cut people off the team so that they could have numbers from 00 to 100, right, to get it down. And now they can't get enough people on the football team, but they've got 120 kids coming out for high school archery, as well as trap. And you can actually letter in high school for fishing, for ice fishing, archery, and trap in our high school now. And you can get a letter. You can get actually scholarships. Like Mike Waddell's kid got a scholarship for fishing for college.
Wow.
Right. Right. So it's pretty cool to see how things have changed. But yet in our day, we could bring a shotgun to school, put it in our locker.
We're going hunting on the way home. Yeah.
Right. Yeah, exactly. I think about that. We'd bring our bow in or a shotgun, put it in the locker, and, you know, it was all fine. No one said anything. And now it's just the opposite. But yet you can get a high school letter of sports. Yep. So
that's crazy.
It's cool stuff. Yeah.
But we're about running out of time here.
Perfect. Well, sounds good.
I want to thank you again for coming on. And where can we find Stark Growth and your catalog of endless supply of new products that you keep coming out with?
Yeah, so I'm on Facebook for Stark Growth for my company, Facebook and Instagram. But really, it's about the brands themselves. I just share the stuff, the content we create there. And so, you know, we've got Ballista Crossbows. If you look them up, ballista.co or Facebook, Instagram, Modern Spartan Systems, the gun oil lubricant stuff, Velvet Antler Technologies. And, you know, we probably do another show. I've got to get you some treats anyway for some of the other brands I work with, as well. So we can talk about those, but that's, you know, for starters, that's a great place. The hunting ranch, you know, we've got, it's called Hell's Canyon Bow Hunting Ranch. We are, we're filled this year, and I only have about maximum 20 hunters on the ranch a year. So it's very low pressure. But I appreciate you having me on and visiting and stuff. And definitely, hopefully, we can get together, or definitely maybe you need to make a road trip out here to Minnesota or South Dakota sometime.
Never have a problem jumping into the truck.
All right.
I appreciate your time, and we will speak again soon.
All right. Sounds good, Chris. Thank you again.